I appreciate Brother Ben. I know you can say stuff. I'm not a flatterer. I just don't believe in flattery. I think it's dangerous. But I want to tell you something, church. Just the last night, I've been in a lot of churches, a lot of places where people were courteous, good people. I've never been in a church where I never knew the people in the church where they've been more hospitable, friendly, courteous, and just like I've known you all my life. You just don't see that everywhere. Don't take that for granted. That's a gift God has given. And I tell you what, you don't notice it as much on your end, but on our side, you notice it very much. And so, please keep doing it. It makes you, makes a fat old man from Georgia feel good. Fatter now. My goodness. I got to go home before I bust. But I want to say a quick word, too, though. You've been here 18 years. I've been in my church for 27 years now. And I've come to the place where the folks there, they love me. But, you know, you look at the, you know, I suppose so. And so used to seeing me up there. That's what folks say. And that's okay, because they should feel confident and comfortable that, you know, that's where I'm supposed to be. But don't ever take him for granted. You don't have any, you'd have to run the circuit, so to speak, to know how much of a mess God you have. Is that right, Brother David? Applies to him too, by the way. I just don't want to say much good about him. Seriously, Brother Ron Lovins is when we're in a meeting and something's going like I'm thinking, I don't know if I like it or not, I always look at Brother Ron. Yes, every time I've learned how to read him now. And I'm thinking, he's thinking, I don't like this either. You know what I'm saying? You've got a man of God in this church, folks. Don't take him for granted. I told my church, I said, you know, I don't want you to, I know we're just, but we hold an office, and the office ought to be respected at all times. Not because we're nothing, in fact, quite the contrary, but the office is as high as you can get. This is higher than the office in D.C. tonight, where the Obamas had it. As far as I'm concerned, it's the highest office that a man can have, care of the gospel, and be entrusted to pastor some of God's people that he loved so much he gave himself for. What a privilege that we have. And I must say, too, I challenge myself, too, Brother Ron, that I don't become accustomed to my people. Because I can get so used to them, I can say, there's a Lord. It's easy. Familiarity as a pastor is worse enemy. But bottom line is, just brag on the Lord and support him. And I know you do. I'm not trying to say you don't or nothing. I'm just going to encourage you, because at my age and this far, I may not ever see y'all. So I just want you to know why I'm here. All right? Because I tell you what, I love him. I love him. I promise you. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. My voice is, seems at this point to be kind of tight. However, last night it was. It opened up. And I preached way too long, like I have all week. That's your cue, Brother Dave. But bottom line is, if it does or it doesn't, it'll be what it'll be. As Brother Jim back in our church says, it is what it is. So we'll try. That's all God expects us to do. Verse number 1 in 2 Samuel 12, here is an account of perhaps one of the saddest and it's hard to understand in some ways in the whole Bible. The great man David, you see, the great man of God. He was God's man, there's no doubt about it, but he had sinned. There was a preacher by the name of Nathan. I got studying one time, listening, and you know, I found out that Nathan told David a lot of stuff he didn't want. I mean, you know, sometimes you get a preacher that he'll tell you what you want to hear. But that's not helping you. What you need to hear is what God wants you to hear. And Nathan was always one that just he'd tell him what God wanted him to hear. And such is the case here. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Specifically unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. That's a pretty strong statement. Right there. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. He spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man, for that was come unto him. But took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was coming to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing. Because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. If that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Father, I love you this evening. I thank you so much for your touch this week. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the patience of your people and all the things that you blessed us with this week. Surely, Lord, more than we deserve. But I'm so thankful tonight that I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded you're able to keep that which I've committed unto you against that day. I'm persuaded, Lord, that I belong to you. And I'm persuaded that you can help me. Help me tonight, Lord, to say what you won't say and nothing else. Help us all together that we might hear what the Spirit says to the church tonight. And for that, we'll humbly bow our heads and thank you and go on our way. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If I could go back just for a moment by way of sort of introduction. The other night I mentioned to you about the God-man. The man that was God and the man, the God that was man. And if you remember, we studied about how that God was the vindicator, I guess is the way to say it. When he was baptized in Matthew chapter number 3, he was baptized and Jesus was, I think, approved of God or verified unto us that in God, because God out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." In the process of showing us side, again, I'm not preaching it over, don't panic. He was showing us the witness of the sovereign Lord unto that man that was in the water. We then studied about how that when he went out into the wilderness with the devil and was tempted, as you remember, all those days and yet without sin, and came forth out of there. And I believe personally that he was vindicated or approved or acknowledged, or whatever the word might be, that in fact he was God, the Son of Man, man as well as God all in one. And that was verified by the wilderness that Satan had him in. And he came out of it. Adam didn't, but he did. But about 3:30 this morning, when one of the times God woke me up and was speaking to my heart, he reminded me that that wasn't his only attributes or only name that he had. And I got just laying there thinking about it, and I thought, well, God verified him or witnessed to him. I believe the devil witnessed to him there, acknowledged it there. But the Bible says that the Bible gives him a name that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as the Lord, he is God. There's no doubt about it. As Jesus, he is the Son. There's no doubt about it. So where was it that he verified, or where was it that he was proven, so to speak, to be the Christ? That's an easy one, isn't it? I tell you what, when you think about that, what is Christ? What does it mean? It means the promised one, the Messiah, the anointed one, the deliverer, the one they were preaching from the very beginning of your Bible all the way through and was pointing like a big finger toward him that was coming. And when he came, he wasn't just Jesus. And I say that respectfully, but he was the Christ. I'm telling you, when he was the God-man, that qualified him. What commissioned him was when he was the cross, the Christ of the cross. And on that cross, as he hung there on that cross, one more time he was tested. One more time he was put to the test. And the sins of all mankind was put upon him. And when it was put on him, what happened? He came through at the end of it. What did he say? "It is finished. It was over." But here's the part that got me here. Amen. The Bible said that there was a centurion standing at the foot of that cross. And I thought about what he said. I don't know about you, but I kind of believe we're going to see him when we get to glory one day. But that centurion the Bible said, smote his breast and said, surely, when he saw these things, saw that earthquake, surely this was the Son of God. In other words, he was saying, he passed the test. He is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. He is the Christ. And in that sense, that was the sacrifice that he was making. And he did that because of the work of the Savior there. For that thought and introduction, I want to speak to you along that last point, the Christ point. And speak to you tonight out of these verses here. When you see this, what he did for us, he did it not as one area, but you see him, as John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. You find him in the Old Testament in the Exodus 12 at the Passover. You find where they took a lamb, if you remember, and they put him up and they watched him and cared for him, got to know him, if you will. And then they slew him, put his blood on the doorpost, and the death angel came through. And when he saw the blood, he passed by them. He wasn't looking for any exceptions or excuses, had no discussions, wasn't looking for good people, bad people. He was looking for one thing. Is the blood there or is the blood not there? Thank God when he come through, they was all down through the streets, all over in the stalls and the animals and everywhere. There was moanings and groanings going on because the firstborn was died off because of that judgment that came through. But over in the Israelites' houses, they're standing behind the door. And if I could say it this way, they said, we don't have nothing to say. We're letting the blood speak for us. And the blood spoke for them there. And the blood made the way. And the blood screamed out, it's Jesus that's coming, the Christ, the Redeemer, the Anointed One that's going to deliver a man from his sins one day. Thank God for it. And when you left, you find that Abraham one time went up on the mount to be tested. He went up on the mount and he took Isaac with him and the wood. And he took for a sacrifice, you know the account, put him on the altar. And when he put him on the altar, he drew back to take his life. And when he did, the Bible said that God called unto him. And what did he do? He stopped him there. And he showed him over just on the other side. He didn't know it. But when he was going up one side, there was a lamb going up the other side of the mountain. And he showed him the lamb was taken and the lamb was sacrificed. It's been the lamb. It is the lamb. It'll always be the lamb. Thank God tonight we're going to see him as the Lamb of God. And we're going to appreciate him as the lamb. I mean, listen, if he was the God-man and he was God and man and God, that would be admirable and it would be holy, it would be perfect, but that wouldn't save you until he went to Calvary. Oh, but on Calvary, Calvary's the reason why she sung tonight. Calvary's what let him put that life down and shed that blood yonder that paid for your sins and for mine. And with that, let's look at this little thing here that Nathan told David about. And I want to preach to you tonight for just a few minutes, probably especially on this thought right here. Everybody needs the Lamb. Everybody needs the Lamb. Thank God. I'm glad they need the Lamb. Verse number 3, the Bible said that the poor man needed a Lamb. That Bible said that he had a need at one time for the Lamb. And he went out and purchased the Lamb. Now we can't purchase this blood, but the point being that he needed that Lamb. He went out and got that Lamb. And that Lamb wasn't just any old Lamb, any old house animal. It wasn't like some of these stinking cats and dogs like we got nowadays. But this little Lamb was like a daughter unto them, and they put him on him, and he held him like a daughter. Now, I've got a daughter, and my daughter was close. We're still close. And I tell you, there ain't nothing no greater than a daddy getting a hold of that daughter and holding her up tight. There's something special about that. And if you got one, you know what I'm talking about. And the Bible said that he held him that lamb. He had a need for that lamb. I want to tell you tonight that you may not have much. You may not have many things like he didn't. He didn't have much. They didn't have but one thing. That's what it said. They had one thing, and that was one new lamb. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, if you got one new lamb, if you got the Lamb of God, you got all you need. All you need. Blessed be His name. There's nothing any greater, nothing any better than having Him. You can have all the money in the world and not have the Lamb and be broke. You won't have anything. But we've got Him tonight. Because of that, we can rejoice and lift our voices. He was special to them. They loved this Lamb. I believe when you have the Lord Jesus, the way it'd be, He'll be sitting in your lap, so to speak, too. You'll be loving on Him too. Amen. But look at verse number 4. The Bible said that the rich man needed a lamb also. But he didn't have one. He had everything else. He had money. He had riches. But he did not have the lamb. And the Bible said that he was so greedy and so unconcerned about that poor man's lamb that he went and took his and killed him. You know, kind of like the Lord came to His own, and His own received Him not. They didn't accept Him as Lord. They accepted Him as just one that came. Oh, but I'm telling you tonight, listen, the world, just like this rich man, don't look at our Jesus with any kind of love tonight. They don't love Him. I got news for O'Reilly. He don't know how to write about Jesus dying. He knows nothing about Jesus dying the way God does. But may I say to you tonight, that rich man needed something. Folks, I'm telling you, if this is not an example of what we need as a lost person, you can gain the whole world. The Bible said, and lose your soul. What profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Here's a rich man that had it all, but he didn't have the one thing that he needed. And that was that one new lamb. And he went and got that lamb and killed him and gave him away. Look at verse number 3. I'm glad, thank God, the Bible says that children needed the lamb. You see, that poor man needed, that said, it appears to me that poor man needed him for friendship, because he seemed like he was holding on to him. You need a friend like Jesus. And that rich man needed him for food. That's all he wanted him for. Wasn't interested in nothing but what he could get out of him. There's a lot of people today that are so-called Christians because of what they get out of Jesus, because they don't want to go to hell, but they really don't care nothing about going to heaven. But I'm telling you, that's not enough. But verse number 4, the Bible said that he needed for food. But the children, the Bible said those children needed. I believe those children needed him for fellowship. Look at it. You read it in that verse. Those children played with him. They had a time with him. And they enjoyed him. And they would sit around and watch him and enjoy what he looked like. There's nothing no more sweeter looking than a lamb anyway. When you look at a lamb, they're just so humble. They're so defenseless and weak and look like. And if I can say it this way, precious. Yes, sir, precious. But look a little bit further. The Bible said in verse number 4, there was a traveler that came along the way. He just happened to come by. He stopped by, didn't stop by the poor man's house. Stopped by the rich man, because thought surely. And that's where he would get the most. And he stopped by the rich man's house. And the rich man didn't have nothing he wanted to get rid of. That's just like a rich man. But on the other hand, the Bible said that the Bible teaches us here that traveler needed something to keep him going. You know what he needed to keep him going? He needed something to help him finish wherever he was going. You realize on the night that they went out of Egypt, the Bible said that the night that they slew that lamb, and the night they put it on the blood on the doorpost and they went out, the Bible said that they ate that lamb. And when they went out, lest it be the Lord, they didn't go out in the strength of black-eyed peas. and butter beans and chicken legs. But blessed be the Lord, that lamb that had delivered them was now sustaining them and taking them down the road and taking them out of Egypt. Thank God. I'm glad the traveler needs it. I'm glad the traveler gets it. If you get the lamb, thank God, He'll take you through it. Look at what your Bible says. Amen. He can finish the battle. You can't finish without Him. Tonight, you can try, you can start out, but if you don't have Him with you, you're in a mess. But I'm glad with the Lord. If you've got the Lord with you tonight, you can make the journey. I'm reminded where it's not the lamb, but it's God to the lamb, same thing. One time Moses said, Lord, if you go with us, we'll go. He said, but Lord, if you don't go, I don't want to go either. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you what, folks, if we're not careful, we'll just take on off and take off on our own and forget about what we need to keep us going. But it's going to take the Lord being with us to keep us going down the road. Look at your Bible. Trying to close because I'm choking up here. But the Bible said he needed to finish. Verse number 4 also. I like this part. There was a man there by the name of Nathan. He's a preacher. The preacher needed a lamb. What would we preach tonight if we didn't have the lamb? What could I talk about tonight? The Ten Commandments? The law? The judgment of God? Thou shalt surely die. Without the lamb, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after death the judgment. Period. Stop. Amen. That'd be the end of it. But I tell you what, as a preacher, Nathan had to tell David some bad news and tell him about his sins. And that's a good thing. And he needed to, and he did. But he had some good news. There's nothing that I enjoy and get blessed more by being able to tell sinners about their sin, but then being able to tell them, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith His great love, He loved us and has saved us. I'm saying to you tonight, we need the Lamb to preach. You know what's wrong most preachers today? They don't have the Lamb. They have philosophy. They have man's wisdom. They have education. And I know I seem like an advocate for an ignorance, but I'm not saying it that way. What I am saying, though, is this. You can have the most eloquent words. You can have the most greatest delivery, the greatest voice, and the greatest place. But if you ain't got the lamb, you ain't got nothing. But if you just got that lamb, thank God, you've got the message. Old John the Baptist wouldn't have fit in with that crowd. That's when God put him down there by the riverbank. And old John was down there preaching. And he you know what? Guess what he preached? The lamb. The lamb. The lamb. There's one coming. He's mightier than me. I can baptize you with water. He'll baptize you with fire. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, John magnified the Lamb. And I'm telling you, they hated him for it. And they hate us today if we magnify the Lamb. But I'm telling you what, they might as well get the hating gear because I'm going to keep preaching by the grace of God. It's the Lamb. It's the Lamb that brought me to where I'm in. And the preacher needed him to preach about a faith that they could have in what? In Him? No, but in the Lamb that died for him. Verse number 4. The Bible says that here sat the king guilty before God. Everybody's got a lamb around him, but he ain't got one. And all of a sudden, Nathan says, But God hath also put away thy sin. You know what happened here? The king needed the lamb. I want you to get this. All the way down to the pauper where the lamb started, the lamb was needed. And follow the whole course all the way up to the top, and the lamb was needed. There's no one that don't need the lamb. Thank God. Bless His name. This world needs the Lamb. these drug heads and alcoholics, and they need the Lamb. They need the Lamb tonight. And without the Lamb, they'll burn in hell. Somebody said that God would look over our sins because He's a loving God in spite of what Jesus did. If He did, it would be an injustice to His Son. God cannot look beyond. A man said recently in a meeting I was at that just because Abraham was God's son, God's friend, that God said, I don't care about the law, you're my friend. Wrong again. Something has to pay the price. When God said that sin requires the death and a payment for that sin, God meant it. But God don't have no oops. I didn't mean to say that. God doesn't work that way. When God says it, it's done then. It's going to happen then. God said man's going to surely die. Oh, but thank God. In the mind of God, before this whole world ever rotated the first time, there was a Lamb that was playing and a Lamb that was coming and a Lamb that was going to deliver us. So one day He stepped on the scene, and the Bible teaches us here that this King needs the Lamb. May I say it this way in verse number 13. The Lord Himself needed the Lamb. And I kind of said it already just then. God, in His holiness, which I personally believe is His greatest attribute, in His holiness, in His omnipotence, that can do anything He wants to and no one can stop it. He's sovereign over any and everything. Who upholds all things by the word of His mouth. We're talking about a God like that. But that God looks at a lost man, and without the Lamb, He can't. He can't save. You want to know some things God can't do? He can't save without the blood. He can't save without the blood. It required the blood. God required the blood. God needed the Lamb. As I said, you need it. They needed the Lamb. Everyone in this scene here needed the Lamb. And that's no different from the average household, community, city, town, country. If it's still the same way, if it's in the middle of the jungle or the middle of New York City, we all need the Lamb if we're going to make it. And the Bible tells us here, may I say to you, that the God of glory needed that Lamb. Somebody said that He has put my sins in the deep of the sea. Somebody said He's put them behind His back. I know the implication there. But that's Old Testament language. They're not in the sea. They're not behind His back. If you want to find out where your sins are or were, you go over into the New Testament, and the Bible said He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. How did He do it? Nailing them to His cross. My sins are not hidden. They're gone. God can't remember something that's not there. God has done away with them. They're gone. The blood didn't cover them. They washed them up. Oh, the blood of the Old Testament was simply a covering, an atonement that just covered and washed it. But may I say it this way? The Bible tells us that it just kept growing higher and higher and higher. That's a Romans chapter 5. The Bible said, but where sin abounded, oh, what a mountain peak of sin that never had been paid for. Thank God grace did much more abound and washed it all away. And now it's absolute squeaky clean. In the blood of Jesus Christ, they're gone. God forgot about them. That's what the Lamb did. Quickly, and I'll be through. As a testimony to the truth that I just read to you tonight, I needed the Lamb. God knew I was going to read this Bible. God knew just as much as he told Nathan and David here through this. He knew I was going to read it. So I'm in this scene too. P.S. You are too. When you read that, God puts you in that scene. God reminds you that you lead that lamb. This is not a coincidence. God put us in here so that we could do one thing. Never forget about the lamb. Never forget about the lamb. I don't know tonight what it is about things that we... It seems like sometimes the only times we can get stirred up about anything is when some preacher gets about through with his message and he'll tell a little story about some little boy that had cancer or broke a leg and how mama cried and they barely made it and just everything's so sad and it's a real emotional thing and then people start talking about how good the Lord is. I don't think we're even crying about the Lamb at that point. You know what? I don't need sob stories to make me love the Lamb. No. I don't want anything substituted for what He did. But I'm glad, thank God, the Bible said, but we see Jesus. Oh, who was made a little lower than the angels. For the suffering of death. Isaiah said it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He bruised Him. There's so much there. When you start looking at that, you start wondering, how could we ever look or even think about anything else? But God has exalted Him. Why? Because of what He did. God has so exalted Him. You get this. Out of all the names in this world, out of all the names that ever has been, all ever will be, there's one name that's above every single one of them. Every one of them. I mean, every great name you've ever heard, it falls by the wayside at the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God. He's given Him a name that's above every name. And His, that every knee should bow to Him. Why? Because He's the Lamb. Do you need the Lamb? Do you? Of course you do. I do. But you know what? I'm glad to say to you tonight, I can report to you tonight, I have the Lamb. Amen. My only regret is that physically I wasn't able to tell you how much I love that Lamb tonight. But it doesn't change a thing. He's there. The question I'm asking you tonight is, if you look at that little scene there and look at all the needs and that one little, 13 scriptures, and look at all the needs of that Lamb. And the emphasis wasn't on David. The emphasis wasn't on Nathan. The emphasis wasn't on the riches and all that. No, the traveler. The emphasis was on that little Lamb. And He had to die in order for those next verses to come into play. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Him who loved us, gave Himself for us. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. He's the God of glory. I praise Him tonight. He's been my friend when I didn't deserve a friend. He's been my hope when I didn't have any. And I can say, as that man that held that lamb in his lap, I love to get alone with Him and just nestle up real close to Him. Just sit beside Him. You know, growing up, I used to get beside Dad. I'd just sit down beside Him and I'd just like to sit beside Daddy. Didn't have to say nothing to touch me and I'd just like to be identified with Daddy. I'm telling you, sometimes in my studies, I'll be digging and researching and looking. And I'll just be gathering information, but it won't be ringing home. All of a sudden, it seems like the Lord will just say, now, wait a minute. Let's go about this a little different. Just show me and remind me of the Lamb. And I can just push that aside. Get down on my knees beside it. And just worship for a little while. Oh my goodness, what it does to what I just studied. What it does to what I just gathered. I'm telling you, it means the most. One man said he did all of his studies like making cornbread. But it wasn't any good until he put it in the oven. And that's what it meant with the Lord. Ask you tonight, church. Does the Lamb mean everything to you? He ought to. If he don't, you better make it. The day's coming you're going to need it. Father, help us tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for the blessed Lamb of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for touching us. Thank you for your strength and your mercy. And I pray that you'd help me be more and more every day aware of the price you paid for us. Help us, Lord, tonight. We in this meeting. I realize that's on our terms, Lord, that we're in it. But we don't know what you're doing. Lord, you may be starting it. You may be doing great things that only you know about. I'm sure you are. But Lord, help us not to forget your Son. Help us to live in the joy of knowing Jesus. And we'll love you in His name. Amen. Amen. Brother Ryan.